The scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Good evening, everyone. You've had a long preview of a scripture this evening. And again, the idea is walking in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called, walking as mature Christians, walking as those who are not tossed about by every wind of doctrine or deceived by those who might twist the scriptures, but going from a babe in Christ to a mature person. Just as we saw this morning with the caterpillar to the chrysalis to the monarch butterfly, ready to spread its wings and to fly. And of course, that should be the goal for each of us, to become more and more like our big brother, Jesus, who leads the way and is above all things, the one who is our head, of whom we are his body. So I see here in Ephesians chapter 2 this idea of a walk that was a former walk for those who were Christians at Ephesus. We know Ephesus well. We have seen it throughout the scriptures. We saw it in the book of Acts. We saw that they burned a ton of books of magic worth over a million. I'm saying a ton, you know, just as an emphasis word. Actually, it was probably more than that. And they burned them in the street for everybody to see. They burned them in the street so they couldn't go back to them. They burned them in the street in spite of the fact that they were worth over $1 million in silver in today's prices. But they had walked the devil's walk. And the devil is good at walking. And so one day he was walking around the earth bothering people, observing people, noticing Job, like, oh yeah, look at Job. Yeah, I'll bet he would sin if God took all these blessings away, you know. So it says in Job chapter 1, 6 through 7, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Now, I'm not one to change the scripture, but I did take every capital letter that was an S in front of the, at the beginning of the word Satan, and make it a lowercase. And I did that, and I had to argue with my spell checker and make it recognize that this name doesn't need to be capitalized. And so there he was, walking around, making trouble like he always does. And then I remembered what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8, among them too, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Does that mean they were angry people all the time? No, it means they were making God angry all the time. Do you ever think you've done anything that might make God angry? I suppose I've done many things that would have made God angry or have made God angry. God knew what the devil was up to, and that the devil knew Job did not walk like these people that were making God angry. Job 1 through 8, or 1:8, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? This is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. You know, Job's going to pay a price for this, but Job's going to get rewarded in the end. It's going to hurt. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. The other people were walking in wrath. The other people were walking in the devil's footsteps. Job was not like that. And so the devil just assumed, well, you know, everybody's a fake, everybody's a phony, everybody just does what's best for themselves. So I know that if God takes away Job's blessings, well, he'll turn away from God. Didn't happen. And God was going to show the devil a little lesson right here. But really, is this lesson for the devil? Or is this lesson for us? It doesn't help to teach the devil anything. He never learns, amen? I mean, he somehow thinks he's going to win. And it's all written down that he's not. But yet, you know, he's not willing to submit to God. Job 1, 9 through 10, then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" And again, who is this lesson for? How many hundreds of years now has it been since Job? And we're still learning this lesson. We're still rejoicing in God's grace and mercy, in God's providence. We're still understanding that everything in this world that Job had was a gift from God. Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. The devil mistakenly thought Job was just another superficial man who served God only for the temporary treasures of this earthly life. Going on, "But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Oh, I missed one." I'm so sorry that that's capitalized. Then I was afraid I was going to do that. I looked it over and over three or four times, and still he snuck one in there. That's because, you know, I think Satan owns the computers too. Anyway, so then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Again, this is going to hurt. The devil thought Job would forsake his righteous walk with God if God took away the blessings. Job lost many things. We know the story. I know I kept you, and I'm really surprised to see so many of you here tonight. Normally when a preacher keeps you 10 or 20 minutes later at lunchtime, you don't come back, but you guys are amazing. You're here, and I kept you 10 minutes over, and you're still here. And you know, I was feeling bad about keeping you 10 minutes over until I saw, again, the great fellowship that we have here, that you stayed until 1 o'clock anyway. Amen. So that was so cool. But Job lost, you know the story. He lost some very dear and precious things. In a sense, some of those things are irreplaceable. I mean, this is hard because we're talking about people that he loved. But now I want you to consider the fact that even though God took those people that he loved, that God also has a heaven for those people, amen? And that this life is just a temporary thing at best, amen? So don't feel too bad about the fact that those people were lost. It hurt. But those people went to wait for a better place. And then God even brought more people for him to love and to lead in his life. Job 1, 20 through 22, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." I remember the day I was born, I didn't have anything on. And it seems like it's always that way, you know? And this is what Job was acknowledging. I didn't bring anything into this world. And I'm not going to take anything out. It's all God's. Job worked at being a righteous man, and God had blessed him greatly. But Job, like the rest of us, was not perfect. And as Paul wrote, we all suffer spiritual death because of our own sins. In this discussion that Paul was having about sin and death, he said, "Therefore, just as through one man," meaning Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned." He didn't say death spread to all men because our great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam sinned. He said because we sin. And so Job is part of that picture. Job was not a perfect man. Surely he also sinned. Surely even Enoch and Abraham and others that we think of as great people actually did also sin. But God can have mercy, and God can forgive, and God can have grace. However, as we return to Ephesians, we read, "But God," how many lessons have started with the words "but God," being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So there's a God of anger. The people were children of wrath. They were making him angry. But God also has mercy and forgiveness and grace to those who will seek his holy face. We see what was written to the Ephesian Christians. And I think of it as being written to me too, because I'm just a Christian like them, you know. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Moved us from a place where we were making God angry. Moved us from a place where we were dead in our sins and transgressions. Moved us to a place where now God is smiling down upon us because our Son, his Son, has cleansed us of all of our sin. So jumping way ahead in Job's painful experience, he had been sitting in pain in the ashes. He had been scraping his body with broken pieces of pottery to break off the bubbles of blisters from his ailment that he was afflicted with. Job 2, 7 through 8, then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. There's no way to get comfortable with that, is there? And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Now, can God change that whole situation? Can he take him from sitting in pain and blood and fluids from the boils and sores and wounds and ashes to a better place? Yeah, he can. We could jump far ahead, look at after Job's suffering and Job's questioning and Job's soul searching and Job putting up with friends that were barely even friends and listening to what God had to say, Job came to understand. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. You ever feel like some of the things that you've studied about God and seen in nature, it's too wonderful? How many cells are in a single leaf? How many leaves are on a single tree? How many trees are on this planet? And how long has that been going on? Wow. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. One of the things that Job gained from all of this was a deeper understanding of God. And we certainly also, when we experience cancer, and we experience the loss of a loved one, and we experience trouble and pain and trial, we can use it to meditate on God, to meditate on who he is and what he does, to meditate on the fact that we brought nothing into this world, not even our body, and that we'll take nothing out of this world, not even our body, only our soul. And that's been God's all along. And we think about those things when we have times of trouble. Some of the hardest people to convince that there is a God are people who think they have everything they need. When we understand that we don't have, that we're not in control, that it's up to somebody else greater than us, then we begin to really know God. You would think that Job knew God. He did those sacrifices to God. He taught his family about God. He discussed God with his friends. But he hadn't really, really known God. until he went through this dark tunnel and came out the other side. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes." What Job faced had been a testing of his love for God, his devotion to God, and his resolve to be righteous. He lost much, and then after he repented, he received back even much more than he had lost by the grace and mercy and love of God. This should remind us that of that future day when we face God's judgment, we must be willing now, to lose self and gain and hold on to God's gift of grace. God proved true, and the devil was not amused. Who will win in your life, God or the devil? I'd rather that in regard to the way my life is lived and the outcome of my life, I hope the devil is not amused. Amen? Because he wants to toy with all of us. Has he been toying with you? He wants to. He wants to toy with all of us. Who will win in your life, God or the devil? He went from sitting in pain in the ashes to this. Job 42:10-13, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money, and each a ring of gold. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters." When I was a kid, I had an uncle in Iowa who had, every year he'd have 3,000 feeder lambs. And I thought, well, that's the richest guy in the world. He's got 3,000 feeder lambs every year to get ready for people who want to eat those on the Passover and other times. That guy must have a lot of money. And I'm looking at Job here. He's got 14,000 sheep. Probably more than half of them were having lambs every year. And he had 6,000 camels. I don't know who would want a camel, but he had 6,000 of them. And 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children. Isn't that neat? Everyone who has sinned has become dead in sin. However, by belief in Jesus and obedience to his gospel, the sin, the shame, the pain, and the death is removed. That is by the mercy and by the grace of our holy God. Ephesians 2:4-6, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We're no longer those children of wrath, seated in our own places where the devil likes us to be. But God has forgiven us by his grace and his mercy, given us hope in heaven, given us cleaning in his Son, and placed us already as citizens in that heavenly place, seated us on much, much, much higher ground. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It was a hard thing that happened to Job, to be used by God to teach the devil a lesson. But Job succeeded in passing the test. He was rewarded for it, and his history testifies of the grace and kindness of God. And of course, that's the true reason for it all. As I said, the devil isn't a good one at learning lessons from God, but we are. Amen? We can see what happened with God's interaction with other people and understand how God deals with us. God demonstrates the riches of his mercy and grace in our lives, too, when he gives us new birth, new life, and a new work to do. And again, that comes into the idea of good works walking, doing the work that God gave us to walk in or to do. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It wasn't Job that cured himself, amen? Job just remained faithful to the God who could cure him. And that's what we need to do. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. When we're baptized into Christ, we are recreated. We are born again. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are created to walk a new life in him. We are created for whatever work God puts in front of us to do to his glory. And those were prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Job is an example of willingness to serve God regardless of circumstances. Neither his blessings nor his suffering could turn him away from God. Now, why did I say neither his blessings nor his suffering? Because many people, I think, are turned away from God by having too many blessings. You remember the prayer of the one in the book of Proverbs, God, don't let me be too rich that I forget you, or too poor that blaspheme you or something like that, speak badly against you. God keeps us in the middle, where we need to be, where we understand that he is still there, still feeding us, still providing an earth for us to live on. I noticed in someone said today that we live Ron in his prayer said we live in this earth. And I thought, well, that sounds strange, Ron. Why didn't you say we live on this earth? But then I'm thinking, we live in this very thin atmosphere above the earth, don't we? Most of the time, unless you're a miner or a scuba diver, you're living in a part of the earth called our atmosphere. And without that, we'd be like trying to breathe on Mars, wouldn't we? You know, it'd be hard for us to survive. If God didn't continue, it would be impossible for us to survive. If God didn't continue day by day by day making this world a place that's suitable for us to live. Job was a human example from a long time ago. Things haven't changed so much, have they? You know, it talked about how we were children of wrath, as he wrote to the Ephesians, in the lust of our flesh. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden with that, don't you? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And it continues. The same three tricks in the devil's bag. The devil mistakenly thought Job was just another superficial man who served God only for the temporary treasures of this earthly life. He thought Job would forsake his righteous walk with God if God took away the blessings. When all was said and done, everyone could see what Job always knew. All of his blessings were from God. And God can give, and God can take away, and God can give again, and God can take away again, and God can give again, as long as you want to say that. And in spite of what is given and what is taken away, we are to serve. We're to do the best we can with what we are given. And we're held accountable to do good with what God gives to us. We know other good examples such as Enoch and Abraham. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. What a wonderful and amazing story this Enoch. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wow, the friend of God. You know what? We're all friends of God in Jesus Christ because of the grace and the mercy and the cleaning that we receive. And God says, you're not just my friends, you're my children. You're my family. And I see family here. Whenever, you know, preacher preaches 10 minutes over at lunchtime, and you're still here at 1 o'clock. That's family. Amen? That's family. Amen. The great example is Jesus himself. Amen. I mean, we talked about a couple of guys there, Enoch and Abraham, but what about Jesus himself? No one has seen God at any... Is that big enough to read If Nancy were here, she could read that without her glasses. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Jesus came to show us God. Job showed us a little bit about what God is like. Enoch and Abraham, they showed us a little bit about what God is like. But Jesus was the perfect, remains the perfect example of what God is like. Jesus, the great example of good works walking. Was there any a time, ever a time when Jesus was doing bad works? Any a time when Jesus was a child of wrath? Any a time when he was irritating God with all of his behaviors? No. He was always involved in good works through his walk in this life. And when he has forgiven us of our sins, then he's given us a new birth and a new life. He's given his Spirit to dwell in us. He's given a restored relationship with God. He's given an obligation to us to grow, and he's given us the privilege to serve. And he's given us the obligation to serve. What amazing gifts by his mercy and his grace. Have you thought about what I might mean by the words, given the privilege to serve? In the Levitical system that we've studied a lot, it comes up all the time, the idea of who would serve in the temple when Solomon builds it. It's going to be people who were children of Abraham, children of Levi. These would be the people who serve. They are given a privilege to serve because of who they are. Others were not allowed to go in there and do those things, amen? Are you getting my point? We have a privilege to serve because of our lineage, our spiritual lineage, children of God, brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ, the privilege to serve. Many people do many benevolent and good things, but only God's children are serving him. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, it's our special blessing and privilege and obligation to work for God and Jesus. Now, I've kind of brought it all together here. The next two slides go over all the Ephesians stuff. So are you ready? And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now working, first century. Was working back in Job's day, was working in the days of Noah, was working in the days of Moses. The devil was doing his work. Just like Edna Carson used to tell me when she'd get up from Bible class on Wednesday night, well, Tim, I'm going to do something now that the devil won't ever do. I go, what's that, Edna? Of course, I already knew because she'd said it every week. Something the devil will never do. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you alone and go home. And she was trying to tell me, Tim, the devil's never going to stop bothering you. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. And again, we have in 1 John this idea of a walk, and we're almost finished. But John has to say this in 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's where we are, seated in a heavenly place, made citizens of a heavenly kingdom, with work that God prepared beforehand for each one of us to do. 1 John 1:8-10, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Good works walking, a sign of agape love and spiritual maturity. Walk with God, work with God, be God's friend. In all the time that I've been here, no one has come forward to confess sin. No one has come up and said, I need the prayers of the congregation because I'm struggling with such and such, and I need help. But people have come to me in the foyer and said, you know, that sermon really hit home with me. I'm really struggling with X, Y, Z. I really need your prayers. You know, so we've had it that way. You know, that's okay too. Who do we confess our sins to? One another. If it's not something that doesn't involve the whole church, you don't need to bring it before the church. But let's remember to confess our sins to one another. Let's remember to seek the prayers of one another. Let's remember that we are here to walk in the light, that we are here to walk with Jesus, that we are here as citizens of a kingdom that is heavenly. If anyone has a need to respond to this evening's lesson in any way, or for anything that had nothing to do with this lesson, we do offer you the opportunity to come as we stand and as we sing.